Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello!
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me!
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
'Cause there's something down there.
So, welcome everybody to this week's Red Rebel Radio. And we're in the home straight now, people. The home straight. I repeat, the home straight. And joining me now with his driving gloves on, ready to drive the car down the home straight to a finish line from Shanghai, it's Swampy.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, radio listener from around the world. It is indeed myself, Swampy, here. Another Red Rebel Radio. But one thing, Ben, your analogy is completely and utterly incorrect and false.
Oh, why?
Because basically, if I was to leave Shanghai in a car, I'd probably get round the corner by a week on Friday.
Oh, I thought you meant because you don't wear leather driving gloves. I thought that's what you meant.
Well, there's that, of course, as well. But you don't get very far in this country in a vehicle unless you get onto the outer stretches of China, where then you can drive for miles and miles
Mongolia.
Without seeing anybody.
Mongolia. I think that's what you're talking.
Yeah, or Kyrgyzstan, or, you know, but I'm not going to Mongolia. I'm coming back to the Republic of Manchuria. But interestingly, talking of actually what this Chinese government have just done, Ben, talking about cars, they've actually increased an additional 10% tax on supercars.
Right.
So if you're a multimillionaire now in China and you want to buy a car over the value of £150,000, you're going to pay an extra 10% because of the implications when it comes to the environment. Now, that in reality sounds like a good thing, but a lot of the supercars over here now are Teslas, which are electric cars. There was a guy in a McLaren the other day. Again, supercars that actually aren't that inefficient. What they should be doing, as four countries have done, and by 2025, four countries, I think, are banning diesel vehicles and buses and lorries in their countries. Now, that's a good step forward.
Okay.
Which I like to say.
I never thought we'd start the show like this, but we okay, good. I'm happy with that. That's excellent news.
Ben, all this is a precursor to you and me taking over the Top Gear job for the
drive.
BBC.
Can't drive. What good am I?
That is probably the best thing that could happen. A man that can't drive has a phobia of every form of transport except walking.
Trains. I'm all right with trains.
Okay. You're not bad with trains. I'll give you that. You could be the James May then. You've got the haircut there nearly already. He likes trains. He's Captain Slow. That could be you. I don't know who I'm going to be. Matt LeBlanc. I'll be Matt LeBlanc, obviously.
Everyone said Clarkson at home. Everyone said Clarkson I know you hate that, but everyone fought it.
It was a toss-up between Clarkson or the hamster. So you know what? Oh, that's a hard one to... Yes, but anyway...
Let's get you out of this hole.
Great show.
Yes.
Yeah, dig me out of this hole.
Speaking of holes, congratulations for getting out of the entrapment that you faced last week. That was great news. I mean, we did call you on... Admittedly, I left it for 36 hours, which I'm told you're not meant to do, but luckily you'd already got out, which was good.
I did. It was an interesting week last week, certainly last Friday. I still don't know who my captives are. I've yet to find out their actual names, and as soon as I find out their names, I will be reporting them to the appropriate authorities, because kidnapping a 47-year-old man...
It's not kidnapping. Kidnapping. You went there on your own. You went there, and they left you the fridge. It was open. It was fine. It wasn't like the room or something like that. You were free to leave. It's just they forgot that they locked the door. That's all.
Yeah, and they left their baby with me.
That's true too.
Which, incidentally, is living here. Yeah, but I've escaped. I'm happy. Everything's wonderful in the world. And as you say, Ben, this time next week, when it becomes UK time, because here in Shanghai, it's at the moment 6:15, I will be actually in my local hostelry where we do the Northern Premier non-league show, I will be in the Heat and Hop.
Yeah, we've all cleared our diaries. We spoke about it this week. We're all going to make sure that we're there, Swampair, for your return. That's not true.
That's not true at all, Ben. To quote Roy Sill,
we've all got other plans, thankfully. So there you go. Anyway. But we're all looking forward to the Christmas special, the MPL show. We're all looking forward to it immensely. Anyway, let's move on to football then. And obviously we've got, it's a proud moment for me and FC United, I feel. 100% record, Swamper.
Well, this week?
Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely, yeah. I haven't won, lost or drawn this week. I think that's a first, really, for FC United of Manchester. We were talking about peaks and troughs. Well, one thing we can say this week, 100% perfection. We have not underperformed, overperformed. We haven't let the supporters down. We haven't let the board down. Carl hasn't let himself down. In fact, it has been probably one of the finest weeks in FC football history I can remember for quite some time, Ben.
That's true. I mean, the first team did a job on Saturday. 100% record. Get the game out of the way. Done and dusted. PP. Excellent news. And then the women's team the next day, 13-0. Have that. Cracking. So it's been a great week to follow FC United. Great week.
It certainly has. I mean, old Jack Frost got the better of the ground, unfortunately, on two occasions. One referee was perhaps a little bit overzealous, it would seem. But they've got to make the call. They made the call. No games. I know Malcolm's went ahead and was very successful. So, again, I think what we can say through all this week is that it's the football inside, because there hasn't been anything to talk about, has gone on the back burner. There's a lot of issues with the AGM coming up, Ben.
Just before you segue to that, just to say, there was a couple of clubs who got caught out with the frost. Curzon did, Oldham Athletic did, Alty did. But the remarkable thing is, because we do the Manchester Football League show, there was a few games which actually went ahead in the Manchester Football League on grass, remarkably. And we're talking like Rochdale Sacred Heart, only up the road, and Avro, their pitch passed. So it was a weird weekend.
Avro's pitches have always been good. We played our youth team, our under-18s, played there for quite a while, and we had very few games called off there. In fact, for anything, it was more perhaps waterlogged pitches rather than frozen pitches. And there's also quite a number of pitches to choose from. As you say, let's hope then we have one game to enjoy, because it's a 4.5-hour journey. And Gainsborough Trinity, FC United's next opponents. And what's interesting, Ben, and I'm sure you already know this, but in 1902, New and Ether had changed the name, obviously, and gone down to Gainsborough as Manchester United. And they actually played against them. United won 1-0. So if we can go to Gainsborough tomorrow and we can get a result out of it, that 1-0 would be terrific. And I know there's a lot of supporters going down, and I hope that the weather, because I know the forecast again isn't brilliant, but I think even if the game is called off, there's so many supporters going down there, they'll make good of it and have a really good day out. But interesting, you know, they've got points a game, basically. I think they've got 19 points out of 19 games so far. They're 18th and six places behind FC United, but again, only a few points behind. So tomorrow is going to be an interesting game, and two probably quite evenly matched teams going at it, and let's hope FC United can get the win. And again, you know, there's been no games for them competitors to play. I mean, they play themselves, so didn't the Gainsborough during the week? I think Alfreton Town in the FA Trophy, they got beat. I think was it about 4-1? I think it was something like that. So they've been playing. FC United haven't, so they're nice and fresh, and hopefully get down there tomorrow and put a display on for the FC faithful.
And hopefully, just to say, hopefully people, the referees have learnt from the Altrincham Blythe experience. On Saturday, Altrincham called the game off at 9 o'clock, which was good because Blythe didn't have to make the trip in the FA Trophy. On Tuesday, they called it off at, I think it was 7:10, which isn't great. So make sure the referees are checking the pitch early doors. That'd be great. You talked about Democracy Swampy and AGMs. The AGM's coming up. Obviously, the backdrop is interesting at the moment at the club. The Evening News and the BBC reporting the dramatic news that FC United have to get an overdraft. But it is going to be a very interesting AGM.
But it certainly is. And I think if it had been any other football club, in all fairness, it wouldn't have been a major story. And having an overdraft itself isn't in itself a huge story. But the fact is, FC United of Manchester, it's a fan-owned football club. The trials and tribulations we've had over the last 12 months, again, it's been something the media were going to pick up on. I know that some people have given it out to other media outlets as well, and not necessarily helping the cause, it would seem, from a biased perspective. They've got an agenda, it would seem. And also, you know, we've got supporters that are arguing and squabbling. We seem to last week have a rallying call of people, more and more people, you know, putting standard orders in, direct debits and so on and so forth.
My general understanding about the statement that was released by the board was to have that exact point to it, that it was a time for everyone to stop the issues that have been going on for the last 18, 24 months now, and come together and think about the bigger picture. And it's something we've been saying since this programme started, about the need to put everything aside and to think about the club going forward. We've always said that on this show since it started at the start of the season. And that's what that statement was pretty much about, wasn't it?
It was indeed. And the one thing, Ben, that also we've seen in the last week, we've seen one board member apologise after meeting somebody and sitting down and discussing and then coming along and saying, look, I made a mistake, hands up, sorry about that. Because that was escalating and could have got well out of hand, because the problem we have now is that it seems that most of our dirty washing, most of the stories seem to be appearing on a Facebook page, and that's now also another website, an unofficial FC United of Manchester message board, that basically just seems to be massively slanted one way, 100% the opposite way, you know, talking about certain board members today and bringing up their past. About something that was discussed openly at the EGM, but again, throwing that into the mix. So there's certainly one board member apologising to a new website opening up, really, what seems to just basically want to have their own say and do it in their own way, through to, for me, the most hypocritical thing I've heard in many, many years is the fact that the No Politics Brigade at FC United of Manchester have actually used politics of somebody who wanted to go for the board. And actually that person decided for the interests of moving forward not to stand. So those that did not want politics within our football club, that have had banners at our football club, that basically are the most unpolitically people, they would say themselves, have used the very thing that they've been despising FC for, politics. Now, the person in question has defended themselves, and it's not here for me to defend them. Some of the things that have been said may be right, some may be wrong. It's down to the individual to ever come back. I mean, my personal opinion, my personal view is, you know, democracy is democracy, whether you like the person or not. You know, you let them stand and you let them fall on their own sword in a room full of people. And if basically they are somebody who has got questionable ideals, questionable policies and thought processes, well, fine. They can be established there and there in front of an audience. But I also noticed is that they were never used. No, none of the questions in regard to this one particular person were asked on the members' forum, when you can actually ask those kind of questions. It's all gone back to Facebook, and you know, I just think it's so wrong that, you know, we're a democratic football club. I mean, you know, if I decide to stand for the board in the next 2 or 3 seasons, let's say, I mean, am I going to get picked upon because I'm an animal rights activist, because I'm a vegan, because I'm a Republican, because I believe in the rights of homosexuality, because of democratic process should be allowed, that I don't like Donald Trump, and a whole host of other things? I mean, just dissect everything of everybody's life, and then there's no point of actually ever standing for anything. It really is, for me, I don't know. I mean, we had, didn't we?
The point has to be made that this said candidate, I've only seen criticism towards him on Facebook. I've not seen it on the Q&A on forums, and I doubt very much I would have heard it at the AGM. And this is a bit more underhand.
Well, I don't know whether it's underhand, Ben, because there are the people have put their names to this. You know, they're not hiding behind pseudonyms to a certain degree. Most people on Facebook have the real name, so we know those people, and some have actually come onto the official message board now that the person has been decided not to be involved. Now, those that don't want Porter's FC United of Manchester have used politics to try and get rid of someone. It is absolutely incredible. Now, some people have actually written some very, very good articles in regards to why they don't particularly want one person there. And that's understandable. And I can understand their thought process. And it's done in a reasoned, sit down, talk to the individual person, and then posted something that person would say, that's fine, I've already spoken to this person about it, no problem at all. But that's the difference between certain people. Also, we're not going to have a trickle being flown over FC United's ground. And, you know, I mean, it's not going to happen, is it? It's not going to happen. Somebody has a view that some people don't like.
People talk about democracy, and people talk about, you know, what was democracy done the last 24 months with regards to, you know, the whole board having to resign and all the arguing that was going back and forth between two camps with regards to certain issues at the club. But this is different. This is now an era when the board are trying to bring the club back together again, and there's meetings going on left, right and centre, and there's statements being put out, and there's conciliatory tones being made. My question about those people who are saying, what about democracy in the last 18 months? It's a valid point. My point is, what about the democracy in the next 18 months when the club really, really needs it? What type of club, and this is directed at the listener, what type of club are you after? What type of democracy are you after?
There is one thing that we can do. There's one thing that we can do to bring people together. As I say, I will sit and talk with anybody at our football club, you know. But while you are representing a football club, be it a supporter or indeed be it a member of staff, you have a duty of care. If you go on Facebook and you have no FC United badges on there or anything like that, that's fine. But once you wear your shirt or you put a badge on or anything like that, you're representing a football club that has an ideology of being nice to people, being a club that actually wants to represent all people. We've had this word Broadchurch for too long now, because what we've done is the last 18 months have been horrendous to a degree, but we are now looking for this, you know, coming together and working together moving forward, because we do need to save the football club. There is a very easy way that we can galvanise, and we've already just mentioned a board member has just apologised about making a mistake and an accusation. He did it to the person's face and then put it on the message board and did it there as well. Every other board member, now the ex-board member, needs to stand up and recognise the situation the club's been left in. And they need to apologise, and also we can then move forward. Because while they are still deniers and not admitting to the faults that were left behind, they need to be accountable. They need to say, look, we have made some horrible mistakes, but for the betterment of this football club, for moving forward, we want this to be a success. We'd like to put our hands up. We'd like to say, look, we've made a lot of mistakes. We've done some really good stuff as well, which just clearly have done some tremendous stuff, but we have made mistakes financially, ground build, and a whole host of other things. We admit that. But let's move together forward as a club. I think that would be better, great for the football club, great for the supporters that are still wavering, that still believe to a certain degree that there's nothing wrong, got their head buried in the sand like pantless birds. And if they can come and say that, I think that will help even more so. Now, whether or not they're going to be at the AGM, I don't know. But you have to admit when things have gone wrong. So we can all apologise. And once you apologise, it can be quite cathartic. You can feel, oh, you know what, because I can understand that there's some ex-board members that are probably very, very wary of going to FC. They're very wary of the situation that the club's now in. Are they thinking it's their fault, or are they not taking any responsibility? You can't run a football club, you can't be on a board, and then when you walk away, say, now to do with me, no, everything I did was perfect. Because if it was, we'd be in a really healthy state. We don't get to this financial situation based upon the last few months, the last 6 months, last 12 months of a new board. This is endemic. We're a year and a half behind our schedule. We're a year and a half behind a whole host of other things. Come out and just say sorry. Come out and apologise. let's move forward then. And then we can, you know, all these issues, I think, will become a side issue. You know, people, we'll always have people at a football club that have different views and ideas. Every football club has that. But we need to be concentrating now on us going forward, working together, working collectively. You know, we can't afford to have the enemy within anymore. You know, we've got to move forward because this club basically will be over in 18 months' time if we can't pull our finger out. It's as simple as that. So it's time perhaps for them to say, look, yes, we took our eye off the ball. We didn't do this right. We didn't do that right. But we can move together, galvanise the club, bring those two factions together, and let's continue and let's build upon that, Ben.
I think that's a good idea, to be honest.
Wow.
I'm not. Apologies are apologies. I mean, if you feel like apologising, then great. That's brilliant. If you don't feel like apologising, fine. You can word it in a way which sounds like an apology, which isn't an apology. But the point is, it is about moving forward. And it's not because we're missing an apology. It's because there's still question marks in the back of people's minds on both sides. And that can't happen. It's got to be united.
You're right, yeah. But I mean, I don't think you get... I think you get united on the pitch for 90 minutes. And I think outside of that, sometimes, I mean, look, very, very quick example, Ben. If you look at Italian football, I mean, within their own football clubs,
yes,
they have
split
left-wing ultras,
place, yes,
and right-wing ultras. I mean, it's goodness gracious, it really is quite incredible. But once that 90 minutes of football's there, they all come together. They all are all as one. Now I think we're nowhere near in that respect. Have so many splinters within our football club, but we do have certainly a difference of opinion between groups of people. There's no these cliques and all, you know, this guy, oh, he's part of that group, he's part of that group. Goodness, grow up, everybody. It's, you know, your supporters, your mates. I don't go, hey, what are you doing tonight? Well, you know what, Ben, I'm going out with me clique. You're going out with who? Me clique. No, it's cool. I'm going out with my mates for a bevy and having a bit of a laugh. I'm going out with my buddies. I'm going out with some people. I'm not going out with my clique. It's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, oh, those in the know. I'm going out with all those in the ITK. I'm going out with ITK.
But the thing is, we're not talking a difference of opinion. What we're talking about here is... You know, some people saying, I'm not going to be doing this because of that person. I'm not going to be doing that. I'm not going to be doing this because of that other person. That's not the way to go. The way to go is to, if you disagree with these, a candidate or a board member or an employee or whoever, then you email them. You get in touch with them and or you do what you suggest. You face-to-face discuss it. And then you'll find out, oh, we're all just human beings and we're all just FC United fans, we're all just Reds. And at the end of the day, we could put our differences aside and move forward as a club. At the minute, we've got a selection of members who are basically saying, I'm not going to be doing X because of this person, or I'm not going to be doing Y because of this person. And that's not good for the club.
Well, they hold the club to ransom. You know, if X person gets on the board, we're all leaving. If this consensus of opinion is that actually half the membership don't want that person. Well, they do. What you do then, you do it in a democratic way. Ben, I'm going out for a drink this evening with a young man who actually is a tea taster for Twinings, who went to Harrow School, who voted Brexit, who basically is a massive royalist and a Tory. And the thing is, he is so upfront with his politics. He's only 26. He's so upfront with his politics. We just sat there and we debated, we discussed. He's completely the opposite to me. You know, his school teacher, his school master was David Ellery, the referee, who loved Roy Keane. And incidentally, he actually does love Roy Keane. He had a picture of Roy Keane in his study, signed by Roy Keane. He had a book, and he said they're very good friends, believe it or not. But you know, so if I can go out with a guy like that and have a drink with him and disagree all night with everything pretty much he says and go home and not bother, I'll never drink Twinings tea again though. That's to be honest, I'm not going to go anywhere near the stuff. But you know, we are all different, but we've got a common cause of good. And individually, I think most people are deep down good. We just need, as I say, I really believe that the old guard, write an email, put it onto the official message board, send it out to all the members, and as you say, we can move forward, Ben, and we need to do that because basically, you know, it's getting to a situation that is it worth it? I mean, and that's what people are looking at. Is it worth being there? Can I be bothered anymore? If it carries on like this, do I want to waste my time? And we can't afford. We come too far to not continue as a football club.
Oh, there you go. So it's important, and I think the whole message that came out from the board last week with the statement, I think that was important, and it should be read again and again and again. And anyone sitting at home going, I don't trust this person, I don't trust that person, speak to that person, and you might be surprised.
We need another summer of love. We need the Manchester scene to come back again. Have that 2 years of summers of love, and everyone be happy, and everyone just, you know, enjoy themselves. Or, as people have started doing, posting old pictures of FC United matches.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's beautiful. It puts a smile on your face. You know, put old videos on. Put pictures of people you've not seen at FC United for ages, and ask them where they are. I mean, we can move forward in a much better way than having an argument about a poppy, having an argument about this, having an argument about that, having an argument about, well, the covers weren't put on, it's a disgrace. I demand. Just take a step back, have a look at what we're doing, and let's all move forward together.
Anything else to add? I'm eating an apple. Anything else to add?
Anything else to add? We're going to have to...
Shall we?
I don't know how I can segue.
Shall we end with a song?
You know, people do know, that know me. People that have met me and spent time with me have asked my opinion of actually going to Cuba, what they think of Cuba, what I think of Cuba. Roy Williamson, who's been going over for 20 odd years now, together with a lot of other great people that I know, are always been friends of Cuba. And obviously, you know, everyone knows that the commander in chief, Comandante, was. Had not been in power for a number of years now, but he equally, you know, still holds the country somewhat together and passing away as he did. Actually, while our show was on, Ben,
I know,
last week, while we were pre-recording the show, you know, it's left a gap. But I mean, the thing is, Cuba is, regardless what people think, and again, I've stressed to many people over the years, go yourself. Have a look yourself. Don't take my word for it. You know, the only word you need to take from me is the fact that they have the best healthcare system in the world. They have an illiteracy problem. Well, they don't have one because everyone has free education. They have the best doctors and nurses, and they send them around the world. They have 52% of their GDP spent on social, housing, education, and the NHS. But we're going to finish, Ben, with a lovely song. And it's a song by Christy Moore. And the song is Compañeros Cuba de Che Guevara.
Safe journey back. Have fun. And we'll see you next week. Blimey.
Fidel and Che Guevara lay in the ship at anchor in the harbour, waiting for the evening tide to rise and bring high water. It's bound for Cuba, she must go across the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean Ocean. She's carrying a human cargo, 83 good compañeros, each one burning with determination to be free against Batista, the fiend.